You are the beautiful one, Lord. Your beauty surpasses anything that we could comprehend or embrace. Thank you for your love and your mercy and the kindness that you show us. Lord, worthy of praise are you. And Father, we want to come back to that heart of worship. Lord, we want to come back and surrender to you what is due your name. So speak to us today. Guide us today. May your word just unfold before our hearts and before our eyes and before our ears. Holy Spirit, have your way with our lives and teach us. So, Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Someone left their glasses up here, but they're so tiny, I think my big old head would break them. I could say, I'll be back, but I can't. I can't even be back. These are nice. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. He's like, save the glasses. I've seen his head is huge. Melon boy. Okay. So, we're going to finish Acts today. Next week is the book of... Yeah. Listen, hang on to your hats. But while you're holding on to your hat, give out a card. Okay? The cards that are there, they're for you to give out. Think of two people that you would like to see come to the Lord or that, you know, they just have a lot of turmoil. Listen, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world. And you're going to be amazed to see the parallels in Revelation compared to what's going on today. So, Book of Revelation. Take a couple of cards, hand them out. If each one of us handed out two cards, that'd be awesome. All right, we're going to have a baptism August 30th. I put on my, I think in the bulletin it says 30th and on the, anyways. It's not that, my notes say 31st, that's a Monday. August 30th, Sunday, after second service, the location is going to be announced. Why? Because things change so quickly as to the parks are closed and then they're open and then they're closed. So we're going to wait till the week before and then I will announce. But if you want to be baptized, right through that door into the fellowship hall on the left-hand side, there is a sign-up sheet where you can get your name down there and give us your t-shirt size and we will get you signed up to baptize you. It's our honor. It's awesome. We already first service. We had quite a few. A few, I think, I don't remember, but they're there. If you want to be baptized, maybe you go, well, you know what, I was baptized before, but I really didn't know what I did. Get baptized, and I'm going to help you understand what it means, because it's important that you know what you're doing when you're doing it. That's why we don't baptize little babies. So we only baptize those who are aware. So keep that in mind. August 30th, Sunday, after second service, baptism. Now, if you're not being baptized, come out and support those who are. It's always good to have witnesses. All right, a couple other things real quick. Frank Waters, the attorney, is moving out over here. Maybe the Lord wants us to buy that building too. Anyways, Frank Waters is moving out. They have a huge, beautiful, very expensive table up on the second floor. They're going to donate it to us. Yeah, it's like $22,000 table. Yeah, wait till you see it. It's fantastic. It's huge. You sit like 14 people. It's thick wood. It's gorgeous. But we have to get it down. So between Monday and Tuesday, we'd like to have some strong people, some muscles. If you have muscles that we could borrow, Monday or Tuesday, here's what's going to determine. You come and talk to me. You say, hey, I'm available Monday. If we have more people for Monday, we'll do it on Monday. If we have more people for Tuesday, we'll do it on Tuesday. We have to see which day we have the most people because it's going to take a few guys. Right now, it's Guy and I so far. So, yeah. Okay, so talk to Guy, Martin, or me after service. And let us know if you're available for Monday or Tuesday, and then we'll go from there. So, very excited about that. Super cool. Also, last, before we jump into our study, please pray for California churches. I don't know if you know or not, but a lot of them, in fact, all of them were sent letters saying you cannot hold service. If you do, they're going to shut your power and your water off. But John MacArthur, I don't know if you know John MacArthur, incredible Bible teacher, he was threatened with that they would arrest him this morning. So I don't know what's happening. I haven't had a chance. We did first service, the second service, but there is really a an overreach by the government. It's interesting. It's always the government's always separation of church and state until they want to control us, and now there's no more separation. That's not going to fly. And I love the fact that all my pastor friends, they're all saying, we're opening. We're going to have church. And if they shut our water and power, we'll do it outside. We'll go over to Walmart. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray for the churches in California, for our brothers and sisters standing up for the Lord. And what an appropriate message this morning. Trust me, you'll see. But let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for our freedom, and we're going to continue to stand in our freedom. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in California that are going to meet. They're going to congregate. They're going to worship you. They're going to hear of you. I pray right now, Lord, that you have your hand of protection, your hand of favor upon them. Lord, thank you so much that we haven't seen that type of persecution yet. But Father, I pray that we would stand firm, no matter what, with all boldness. Father, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Acts 28. This is Acts 28, part 2. The ushers will help you get a Bible in your hand. I've entitled our message, With All Boldness, and we are going to see our verses separated into four sections: Paul's deposition, people divided, powerful dismissal, and perpetual doctrine. And you'll see why I've named that. Now, of course, today is a bittersweet moment. Why? Well, we've been trekking through this powerful book, the book of Acts. It's been very impactful in my life. I hope it has been in yours. But it's bittersweet because we end it, but I'm also excited about getting into the book of Revelation. But let's get up to speed as we complete this book. So, Paul was on a ship in a storm for a couple of weeks. Very frightful, very fearful, very cold, very wet, very hungry. Just, they all thought they were going to die. But an angel came and told Paul, listen, all the guys, everyone, all 276 will survive. And they did. They made it to an island. On the island were some villagers, some barbarians, barbar, according to the language. But they were nice barbars. They built a fire to warm the guys. And I love, Paul doesn't just sit back and go, ooh, it's cold, I'm exhausted. He gets up to help. He's always about warming others. I love that about Paul. But while he's doing that, what happens? He gets bit by a viper. He gets bit by a poisonous snake. And the people watch, the barbars, they're like, oh, he got bit. He must be a murderer. God, you know, the god, the gods, they don't know the real god. But even villagers understood there was a god. They're like, he's dying because he's guilty of something. When nothing happened to him, they're like, okay, maybe he's not a murderer. He must be a god. And, of course, Paul is neither of those. He's not a murderer. He's not a god. He's a man of God. And so he hangs out with them, and then they take him to meet Publius, who is the head guy of that area. That's his title, not his name, we pray. And all the villagers, you know, they're like, well, this is cool. Publius was sick, and Paul healed him. Well, it wasn't Paul, it was God, but God used Paul as a vessel. And so then all the other villagers who were sick started coming to Paul, and Paul was healing them all. And all these men, whether they were the barbars, the villagers, or the soldiers, or the prisoners on the boat, saw Paul's humility, Paul's servanthood, and the move of God's Spirit through Paul. And so they stayed there for 3 months. Now, that's interesting because that was about the amount of time that Paul wanted them to stay in Fairhaven. But, of course, the sailors and the captain, they all wanted to get going. He said, we shouldn't, and they did anyway. So let's read the last verse we looked at last week. That's verse 16, and we'll be all caught up moving on to new territory. Now, when we came to Rome, a certain centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. So Paul has some privilege. We're going to see here that Paul is just an amazing, amazing dynamo, dunamis of a man. And I've entitled our message with all boldness. But before we move on real quick, we have to go, well, what really does boldness mean? So I looked up the definition. Here you go. Fearless, daring, courageous, a bold leader. That's definitely Paul. Requiring or exhibiting courage or daring. Watch this. The trait of being willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. Did you hear that? The willingness to undertake or involve risk and danger. The problem with our Christianity, and I'm guilty too, oftentimes I don't want risk and danger. I want comfort and security. Risk and danger is what we avoid. But as we move through this, we're going to see when we have the Holy Spirit, we should move in all boldness towards risk and danger if the Holy Spirit is moving us in that direction. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen, the church, when it was birthed in Acts 2, and they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke with boldness. Acts chapter 4, filled with the Spirit, with boldness. Paul is often asking, pray for me that I may speak with more boldness. And listen, in this day and age, this first century church, there was an incredible amount of persecution, even unto death and imprisonment. So, today, we have it pretty easy. However, it sure looks like things are beginning to change. You know, with California saying you can't have church and our brothers and sisters over there saying no, with all boldness we are going to stand. I don't know if you know this, but there was a certain group that's very active right now that have proclaimed churches to be white privilege and that all churches should be burned to the ground. Oh, yeah. And that is gaining momentum, that idea, that concept. But of course, we will stand with all boldness. So, Acts 28, part 2, Paul's deposition, verse 17 through 22. Acts 28, verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So, I love this. Okay, after 3 days, Paul is there. He's like, look, I just sailed here. Just got back from being shipwrecked on an island. He's not waiting very long. He's like, you know what? 3 days is enough. Let me get busy. Let me get back to serving. Enough of the relaxation. I love that about Paul. But what is he doing? He's calling the prominent leaders of the Jews. He wants to diffuse anything that is going on. He wants to set their mind at ease. Why? Paul is going, wait, you know what? I bet they've already heard about me. I bet they're formulating their own ideas about me. They may even already be ready to sentence me without ever hearing from me because the Jewish leaders over in Jerusalem probably sent letters to these leaders because that's normally what they would do. It's been 3 months. So he's going, well, you know what? I need to head this off. I need to get them together before they come looking for me. I will put them into a group, and then we'll just get this over with. By the way, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you have odds with the brother, you need to go, or sister, you need to go to them immediately. Matthew 18 says, go to them. Someone sins again. Don't wait days and days and days. Get it over with. Get it done. Be a minister of reconciliation. So that's what Paul is doing. He's like, I'm going to wait for you to come to me. I'm going to assemble you, and I'm going to go to you. Why? He's innocent. However, by the way, this is around 63 AD. And you go, okay, what's important about that? This is 7 years before the temple is going to be torn down brick by brick. Jesus prophesied about this. Jesus prophesied about this, that in the not too distant future, that the temple would be torn down. Well, we're right about that time now. It's just 7 years from now. And so I love that, by the way. It just proves that Jesus was God, that he could proclaim that, and it did come to pass. Let's move on. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people, Jews, or the customs of our father, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. He says, listen, from Jerusalem, they put me in the hands. I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't attacking the Jewish faith. I'm a Jew like you. I'm a zealous Jew like you. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm sure you've heard already. I'm sure the Jewish leaders over there who wanted me dead, who wanted me incarcerated, they probably sent you a bunch of notes really scathing, telling you how I'm this, an insurrectionist, and all this stuff. He says, listen, let me offer my defense. And I love the way that Paul is going to answer his defense. Look what he says, verse 18. Who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go? Do you realize I went to court, guys? They're telling you all kinds of horrible things about me from Jerusalem. Now we're in Rome. They told you all kinds of, they were lies. How can I prove it? They were going to let me go. But I wanted to see Caesar. Just to recap, look back at Acts 26, verse 32. Let's go back a couple of chapters. Acts 26, verse 32. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. They're like, look, this guy is not guilty of nothing. Paul didn't do anything wrong. And you know what? We would have let him go, but he wants to go see Caesar. So we're going to let him go see. He's Roman. He's a Roman Jew. He's entitled. Is that the news? What's going down? Oh, that's okay. It was a game. That sounded like a game. Hey, you know what? I've done that myself. I've done that before. Don't feel bad. Okay, so he says, they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. Did you catch that? It says, there was no cause for putting me to death. I don't know, since when did that stop the religious leaders? Jesus Christ, he had done nothing wrong, remember? They said, I find no fault in this man. He wasn't guilty, yet they still killed him. Paul, they didn't care that he wasn't guilty. They tried it. They made up lies about him. You know, as a Christian, we may be persecuted. We may feel, listen, we may end up being a nation where this nation persecutes Christians. I don't know. It could happen. There are people dying right now in Africa. It was like 100 and something people that were murdered because they were Christians. It was either yesterday or the day before. And they wiped out hundreds in villages. Just not wiped them out, but pushed them out of their homes because they were Christians. It's happening now. Just because it's not happening in America yet. But we may be persecuted. And you know what happens when Christians are persecuted? It's like there's no cause for this. We didn't do anything. We just believe in Jesus. That's worthy of you treating us this way? Yet, Paul says, you know, there was no cause for them to want to kill me, but he's willing to die. Why? Because he has a cause, and his cause is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if ever a day, I pray it doesn't, but it could, if ever a day, a time of persecution comes to the church, you may be standing there going, why are they doing this? There's no cause. Just go. You know what? There is a cause. I'm going to bring glory to God. Here's why. Do you realize in prosperity, people aren't drawn to Christ by prosperity. Why? Well, here's the thing. If you see someone, it's like, well, no wonder you're a Christian. You drive a $300 Rolls Royce, a $300 Bentley, $300,000 Bentley. Yeah, you're a Christian, of course. That doesn't lead someone to Christ. What leads someone to Christ is when your life is being torn apart, when they're saying, denounce Christ or die, and you say, I will not deny Christ. That's what brings revival. When people see you go through difficulty and hardship and you still stand strong for Christ, they go, what is this? This is amazing. They have such peace. At this time when the church is exploding, the first century church, they are all being threatened with death and jail time and punishment. Real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to this. This is not a popular verse in most churches. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 11. Speaking of Christians, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ may also be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake. Wow. Did you catch that? Saying, listen, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed, perplexed, but we're not freaking out. We're persecuted, but God still loves us. He cares for us. We're strucken, but we're not going to be destroyed. Why? Because even if they destroy the body, I go on into heaven for eternity. But he says this, having the life of Christ in us. See, that's why Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. And he says this, and a fellowship of his suffering. Oh, I thought fellowship was for donuts. What if we had a class? All right, hey, everyone, we're going to have a class, and we're going to all experience fellowship of suffering. Crickets. It's like, listen, that's not a very popular idea. But it's a godly idea that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, we're not called to cope with persecution. We are called to conquer in persecution. Wow. I love my brothers and sisters in California just conquering in persecution. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 19, but when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. Did you catch that? He said, listen, they spoke against what I was trying to tell them. I was just loving on them. I wasn't guilty of anything. I was just living my Christian life. No big deal. They could either receive it or reject it. But notice what he says here. I hope you caught this. He says, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. I had nothing against them. Really, Paul? They arrested you. They beat you. They wanted to murder you. They lied about you. And he goes, yeah, I don't have anything against them. They didn't do anything to me. I just want you to know that I'm innocent. That's all I care about. Oh, how do you respond when someone talks bad about you, talks ill, or they did something devious behind your back? Do you go, hey, you know what, Aunt Sally? Do you want to know what they did? hey, Billy Bob, you know what they did? Do you start telling others all the accusations, how they did you wrong? Is that what you do? That's what I do sometimes, if I'm honest. Now, Paul, right here, he could say, guys, you don't know. They beat me. They put me in jail. They put me on a ship, and it was shipwreck. It was all, we thought we were going to die. I got bit by a snake. See? Boo-boo. I got a boo-boo. No. He says, hey, I got nothing against them. I got no, they're my people. These are the people who want to kill him. He says, they're my people. Wow, Paul, I love his heart. I need more of Paul's heart. You know why Paul's heart like that is like that? Because he has the Holy Spirit in him. He's allowing the Holy Spirit to let him be bold. With all boldness, he's got nothing to prove. Wow, I had anything of which to accuse my nation. But they accuse him. They want to kill him. Verse 20. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you, see you, and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with chains. He goes, guys, that's why I'm calling you here. I want to see you. I want to speak to you. I want you to know the truth, because I think you've already formulated your opinion of me. I want you to know I don't have anything against those guys. But did you catch this? Paul is just looking for an opportunity to share the gospel. He wants them to know his faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for the hope of Israel, I am bound in chains. You guys are, he's talking to Jews. He goes, you guys are all Jews. I've got hope for you. That's what I had for them. And because I brought them hope, they want to kill me. What gratitude is that? How would you like that? If you knew someone was needing some hope and you came to bring them hope and encouragement and all they want to do is kill you. Huh. Paul, amazing. And then he says this, that his chains are for the, he's in chain for the hope of Israel. Notice, he's in chain, he's not in chain to, he's not chained to Rome. Rome is chained to Paul and can't get away. Listen, he will write later, he will say that there are many believers in the house of Caesar. Why? Because every time they chained a guard to Paul, he would convert them. So he left Caesar's palace full of believers. So Paul says, listen, I'm not chained to Rome. Rome is chained to me, and they ain't getting away. They're getting preached to. Yeah. For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. And by the way, real quick, I believe it was every 3 hours they were supposed to change guards. But once Paul came in, they said, we can't do that. If we change guards every 3 hours, they're all getting saved. So they made it every 6 hours. To try and reduce the number of guards that were getting saved. How do you like that? He says, for the hope of Israel, I am bound in chains. That's not a bad thing. That's my desire to give hope. But here's the problem. The Jewish leaders didn't like the hope that Paul was giving. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if the hope that Paul was offering was Jesus Christ, oops, we killed him. Oopsie, big mistake. Not only that, why do we kill him? Because we have to admit that we're sinners. We have to admit that we're religious and that we don't really have a love for God. We're just jumping through hoops. Can I tell you, coming to church is not about jumping through a hoop. Serving, giving, praying, none of that's about, well, I got to do this in order to be saved. You don't have to do squat, but fall in love with Jesus. He did it all. And so the problem with the Jewish leaders is they wanted the people to keep doing the stuff that they were doing. The dietary laws, the Jewish leaders especially wanted the giving, because that laced their, they lined their pockets. But he says, no. I'm chained for the hope of Israel, which is now going to be the hope of the Gentiles. He told that to the other guys. Listen, the gospel, Jesus Christ is coming to the Gentiles too. They really hated that. And he's going to tell them that again. I love it. So he's like, I'm sure you've heard the accusations. You guys are all together. Watch their response. Verse 21. And they said to him, we neither received a letter from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil. We've heard nothing. Paul's like, wait, I know you guys heard. No, we didn't hear nothing. Oh, never mind then. No, he didn't do that. But they haven't said anything about him. Can I tell you? Like, you can stop me. Good luck with that. Sometimes we are so consumed with what we think other people are thinking of us. Paul, he's like, they must know about me. They must be thinking. They must be plotting just like over there. And they're like, we didn't know nothing. Sometimes we're so consumed with what we think other people are thinking about us, and they're not thinking of us at all. It's just us. Oh, I bet she's thinking this, and she's thinking about ice cream. It's like, hey, well, you were thinking this about me. I wasn't thinking about you at all. Here's a great illustration. Okay, you want to know about your life and the impact that our lives make on this world? Take a bowl, fill it with water. Take your finger, put it in the water. Remove your finger and see how fast that hole is filled in. That's your life. You and I will pass from this life, and that hole that we filled will be filled like that, and no one even remember. A few people will hurt, but life goes on. Every person who's ever passed away, we hurt a little while, but then life goes on. It's like removing your finger from water. But we think that everyone is thinking of us. Stop it. Just worry about what he's thinking of you, because he is. He truly is thinking of you all the time. He's obsessed with you. Your picture's on his refrigerator. But there's something else. Paul goes, hey, I know you've heard about me, and they're like, we haven't heard nothing. What does that tell us? Here's what it tells us. The Jewish leaders who wanted to kill Paul, who wanted to take Paul to court, they didn't even send a letter. They've had months to send a letter. They haven't sent a letter. They haven't come. They haven't trekked their way over there to stand before Caesar and bring an accusation. Oh, no. Why? Because they know that they are wrong. And they know that he's done no wrong. And even despite the fact that inside they know they're wrong, they still want to murder him. So Paul has no accusation against him. But he should have accusation against them. Because of them, he's been beaten, he's been arrested, shipwrecked, stormed, bitten. All of that stuff because of them. He didn't do it. But it's all really because he's chained to Christ, and he'll go anywhere God wants him to go, no matter how difficult. Brothers and sisters, when you and I begin to serve the Lord, that's when the serpent bites. That's when the enemy attacks. That's why we need to stand with all boldness in the Lord. Verse 22. But we, so they go, hey, we haven't heard nothing, but hold on, don't run away. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, Christianity, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. We know that everybody hates you guys. So we're curious. If you're a representative of that sect, those Christians, those Christ followers, tell us what it's all about. Why do people hate you, and why do you guys like to be hated? Because you seem to like it. This is an evangelist's dream right here. To have a bunch of unbelievers say, you know what, we want to hear about this. I mean, I'd be like, wait. You are some of the most powerful people of the Jewish people in Rome, and you want to hear about Jesus? It'd be like, is it Christmas? Pinch me. You know, what an opportunity. Now, notice he says, for concerning this sect, Christianity, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. Do you know that, that's the same today as it was back then? What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. I went to Israel not too long ago. If you are a foreign Jew and you want to come into the land, no problem. If you're an American Jew, you want to come to Israel, you want to move there, no problem. They'll work it out. You can get acclimated. If you're a Muslim, and you want to dwell in the land, we can cohabitate. If you are a Buddhist, bring it. You ain't heavy, you're my Buddha. No, I don't know why I said that. That's dumb. Okay. Hey, Buddha knows best. No, he doesn't. Okay. But if you are a Christian, no way. They hate you. They hate us. We're the enemy. Why is it Muslim okay? Why is Buddha okay? Why is a foreign Jew okay who doesn't practice Jew? Why is that all okay? Because Christianity flies in the face of their dietary law and all. Christianity is the completion of Judaism. It makes it complete. For the same reason that they wanted to kill Jesus for no reason. Or wanted to, they did. Why do you think that in America, around the world, when people use profanity, they never use Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius? They always use the name of Jesus or the name of God. Why? Because those aren't real. Only Jesus and God is real. That's what makes it offensive. So the people are divided. Let's look at verse 23 through 24. The people divided. Verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came at his lodging. So they go, hey, we want to hear about this. I'll tell you what, Tuesday, we'll all come over. You know, we'll have some tea and crumpets or whatever they have. We'll have some bagels and lox, and we'll sit down and we'll listen to you. So they appointed a day. He has a lodging. They all came. To whom? So they come over. They're at his house. They're chilling. Who he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. So what did he do? He explained and he testified. Do you realize that your life testifies something? It does. Some of you, your life testifies self. I did this, I did that, I can do this, I'll do that. Me, it was me. Oh, you did that? Well, I did this. Always focused on some people, that's their testimony. We call those egotistical people. Some people, here you go, meaning well. Some people testify of their family. Oh, here's my daughter, here's my son, here's my husband, here's my grandma. All about the family, no Jesus. Listen, you can have your family, but Jesus needs to be first. Some people, here you go, some people testify politics. Politics, 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 everywhere they go. I'm voting for so-and-so, I got a flag, I got a bumper sticker. It's like, what about Jesus? Some people testify of sports, baseball, my team, this team, that team. What team are you? My team. Some people knitting. Hunting. Sewing. Cooking. That sounds weird, but okay. You get the idea. Listen, what does your life testify? Ask your friends, hey, what would you say the testimony of my life is? Oh, well, it's cooking. You're a cook. Well, what about Jesus? Oh, you a Christian? Danger. Your friends shouldn't go, oh, are you a Christian? What does your life reveal? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. None of those things are bad. Family, cooking, hunting, politics, sports. Well, okay, maybe politics. None of the other things are bad. No, I'm just teasing. None of those things are bad, but if that's what dominates, if that's your testimony, that's bad. Our testimony should be God first, family, and then everything else can fall into place. But Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, watch this, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He's saying here that the righteousness of God should be revealed in you and I. That the just, those who have been justified, live by faith from one faithful opportunity to the next faithful opportunity. What are you? We're to be revealers. You're a revealer of what? I don't know. You tell me. What does your life reveal? God or cookies? Don't answer that. Our words, our actions, and our life should be revolving around Jesus Christ. Listen, it says he solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Listen, we don't want to remove the king from the kingdom. If you remove king from kingdom, all you got left is dumb. We don't want that. Keep the king in the kingdom and you be a servant of the king. Now, so he asked people to come over. Look at this. Continue. Persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Now, first of all, he goes to the law. He says it's all Jesus. He goes to the prophets. Jesus fulfilled 300 prophecies. Listen, that's a study you can do, or maybe we'll do it at some time. That's mind-blowing when you look at all the prophecies Jesus fulfilled 800 years before he was even alive. They wrote about him, and he fulfilled it. What are the odds? Well, you can work on that on your own, or maybe I'll do it for you one day, but it's astronomical. So he tells them, and look at this, from morning till evening. Now, that's a Bible study. So here's what we're going to do. No one's going home. We're going to just, no, just, oftentimes, you know, we come in, the worship for 30 minutes, teaching for 45 minutes, and people are impatient. Man, he's going long. He's going, really? They went from, these aren't even believers. They're not even believers, but they're interested. Hey, let's find out about this God. Let's make an informed decision about this God, this Christian, this Jesus thing. These people are hungry for the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to be filled with God? You know what you have to do? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for it. So many people are like, oh, I want God. Not reading my Bible. No. Not praying. No. Well, why are you going to be filled? Give me an example. Let me create an illustration that might help you. Let's say you have a kid. And you wouldn't buy that child a $2,000 violin if all they want to do is swing a bat. You wouldn't buy that child a $2,000 violin if they want to shoot hoops. Why? Well, because you're not going to put that money where it's not going to be used. However, take that same child, you buy them a $100 violin, and they're practicing and they're playing. One day you hear beautiful music, and you're like, oh, if he plays that well, imagine on a $2,000 violin, and you go get that. The same is with God as our Father. Why is he going to give you a whole bunch of the Holy Spirit if all you want to do is hit the crack pipe? But if you are willing to serve God, to speak of God, to proclaim God, to live for God, God says, I'll give you more. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why isn't God moving in my life? What are you doing? Nothing. Well, pick up the violin and start working on it and watch what God does. Make beautiful music unto the Lord. Let your mouth, your tongue, your speech be proclaiming him, and then he will equip you to bring him glory. That's what Paul is doing, verse 24. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Isn't that the divide in the whole world? Isn't that the divide of life, period? Some believe and they go to everlasting life. Some don't believe and they go to hell. It's the divide. Heaven or hell. We all get to choose. This word, though, persuaded, actually is better translated believe. And I'll show you why here in a moment. But here it says some disbelieve. Disbelieve. It's interesting that it says dis. We know in this society today, when you diss on someone, that's not a good thing. When you disbelieve, it means you're dissing on Jesus, but honestly, you're only dissing on yourself because you miss out on the glory of heaven and God. I like the King James. The King James of this same verse says, some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. Interesting. The word believe, I learned this in this message. Look, I go, what is the word in the Greek? The word in the Greek for believe is pytho. And you go, yay, pytho. No, listen. The word pytho, I love this. You know what it means? It means tranquilize. Tranquilize. Before I was a believer, I'd get freaked out. I'd get angry. I'd get depressed. I'd have anxiety. Just a mess. Once I gave my life to Jesus, tranquilized, chill. God, you got this. Not perfectly. Sometimes I need more tranquilized. I need a bigger pill of God, you know, God pill. But isn't that interesting? To believe means to be tranquil. Listen, if your life isn't tranquil, it's because you don't believe enough. It's because you lack faith. And we all get that way from time to time. Oh, but the beauty is, here's this group, some believe, some became tranquil, some goes, so Jesus, the Messiah, he's our Savior, wow. Another goes, oh, I don't want that Jesus, that Messiah. That's right, one's tranquil, one's not. Interesting word. Let's look at the powerful dismissal. This is awesome. Verse 23. So when they did not agree amongst themselves, the tranquil with the upset, angry, whatever. So when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. Not one word, one idea, one thought. Look what he said. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet. That would be Isaiah 6. You can look it up on your own. That's basically what he's about to say right now. Through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will not hear. Excuse me. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceived. For the heart of the people have grown dull. Your ears are hard of hearing. Your eyes, they are closed. Lest you see with your ears and hear with your ears. Excuse me. See with your eyes and hear with your ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. I can heal you. I can bring you tranquility. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will hear. He's like, Jews, you saw Jesus, you saw the miracles, you don't want to see. You're hearing the truth from the Old Testament law and prophets. You're hearing it, it's true, but you don't want to hear. You don't want it. He goes, but the Gentiles, they'll hear. How do I know that? Look at us, we're all Gentiles. We're hearing, we're believing. We're succumbing to the truth. But this is a hard pill to swallow. Why? What he's saying. Listen, when you and I share the gospel, there's two sides to our message. Yeah? Yeah. There's a side of the people who receive Christ and receive eternal life. And then there are those who reject Christ and they're going to where? Hell. You should add a hard warning. That's what he's warning. He's saying, listen, you don't hear because you don't want to hear. You don't see because you don't want to see. But you know what, Jews? Although it came to you, now I'm going to take you to the Gentile. You know why? They'll believe. That's for a Jew, that's harsh. We don't understand how intense that is. But listen, when you are sharing your faith with someone and they reject Christ, you should give them a very sobering message. Let me show you. I teach evangelism. I've taught it for many, many years. I teach several different techniques. But one thing that I do universally, 99% of the time when someone rejects Christ, here's what I say. You understand. So I've shared Christ with them, shared the gospel, shared the truth with them. They say, no, I don't want Christ. I say, okay, you understand. If you die today, you understand that you're going to go to hell. You're okay with that, right? Have a nice day. Listen, that's intense. Even for an unbeliever, that truth of, wait, I'm saying that I want to go to hell. Because that's exactly when you disbelieve, you diss on Christ, you diss on yourself. That's the option you leave open. So Paul says, listen, you don't hear, you don't see, because you don't want to see. But the Gentiles, they will. Let's look at the perpetual doctrine in verse 29 through 31. Now, for you Bible scholars out there, if you have the King James, if you have the American New American Standard, you'll have this verse 29. But if you have the English Standard Version or the New International Version, the ESV or the NIV, they don't have this. Some of the other translations, they just have the number 29, no verse there. Why? Well, let's read it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Some of your translations are missing that verse. Some of them have it. Here's the point. That's already been said earlier. There was a dispute. Some believed, some didn't. They didn't agree, and they left. There's nothing there that violates God's word. Evidently, some scribe, plural, decided to add an additional thought that just reiterates what had been said earlier. Does that make it wrong? Not really. It's not great, but it can be there. It's not a violation of God's word. But the most reliable manuscripts that we have do not have that verse. So just something for you, if you are a Bible scholar and you wanted to know, don't fret. Someone says, hey, there's verses missing. Get over it. Move on. Verse 30. This is in here. Then Paul dwelt 2 years in his own rented house through parties, had nachos. It was great. No. There was a pool, a jacuzzi. No. Just. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Everyone who came, he's welcomed them. Come on in. But look at this. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern Jesus Christ. Here you go. You receive people in your home? Are you preaching and teaching Christ to those who come into your home that don't know Christ? Those who do come into Christ, that do come in, do you talk about the Lord? Do you pray with them? So important. That's what Paul is doing. Anyone come to visit? Hey, welcome, compadre. Come on in. You know, hey, sit down. Can we talk about Jesus? That's awesome. Everyone. He received everyone who came in. Now, real quick. Notice it says preaching and teaching. Do you know what the difference between preaching and teaching is? Because I've had people after service go, hey, pastor, that was great preaching. I was like, where? I thought I was teaching. Here's the difference. Preaching is the gospel to the unbeliever. So when I go to an unbeliever, I don't give him the Greek and the Hebrew word. I don't give him history lesson. I don't do any of that stuff. I just tell him that Jesus Christ is Lord, end of story. That's it. Teaching is doctrine and scripture for the believer. That's what we do here. Now, on Sunday, I give you both preaching and teaching. I mix the gospel, I mix the cross in, but I'm teaching. Why? If you're an unbeliever, I want you to take an opportunity to accept Christ. If you're a believer, I want you to grow in your knowledge of who God is. So just in case, preaching is for the unbeliever and it's the gospel. Teaching is doctrine and reproof, and that's for the seasoned or the new believer who's already a believer. Okay, so he's preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. With all confidence, no one forbidding him. Now, real quick, it's been 2 years, and it'll be another 2 years before Paul will go and see Caesar Nero. Now you're thinking, wait, 4 years. This has been the buildup of the book of Acts, is Paul to go to Rome. That's the buildup. He's going to Rome, and on the way he went other places, but he got to get to Rome. That's the ultimate goal. Well, according to history, according to church history and non-biblical recorded history, here's what we know. Paul did go to Nero, that crazy guy. Paul was acquitted by Nero, but Paul preached the gospel to him. When Paul preached the gospel, right after that, Nero went bonkers. He went nuts. He then became enraged against Christians, and he started burning them at the stake. He used them as lawn ornaments for his parties. He loved fire. He was a pyromaniac, but he loved more than anything was burning Christians. After Paul spoke to him about the gospel, he rejected it. And I believe sometimes when people reject Christ, demonic powers, demonic realm is real. Demonic powers then take over their life because they're refusing God. So they go, hey, might as well move in. We got a welcoming host. So Nero went bonkers. Paul then goes on a fourth missionary journey that we don't have recorded here. He goes to Spain and a few other places. He treks back to a lot of churches and visits them. But then he will be arrested again, taken back to Rome before Nero. And around May, the end of May, June of 68 AD, he will be beheaded outside of the gates of Rome. Here's the interesting part. So he's beheaded around May, the end of May or June, we're not quite sure, but we know it's 68 AD. In June of 68 AD, Nero commits suicide after having talked to Paul, not shortly after that. Oh, wow. He goes nuts when he hears the gospel the first time. He kills himself shortly after hearing it the second time, never turning his life over to God, as we know, as far as we know. But here's the question. So I filled in the gap that Luke doesn't. But you got to be asking this question. What question? This question. Why doesn't Luke finish telling us about Paul? We've been riding around with Paul. What's the rest? As Paul Harvey would say, now the rest of the... What's the rest of the story of Paul's life? Well, here's why Paul doesn't tell us the rest of the story, because the book of Acts is not about Paul's life. Some of your Bibles say at the beginning of the book of Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles. It's not that either. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the healing of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, the proclaiming of Christ through the Spirit. Spiritual gifts. It's all about that. It's about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, through Peter, through the disciples, through the apostles, and through Paul. In the book of Acts, we have instructions on how we're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out with all boldness. But here's the problem. Oftentimes, brothers and sisters, when we move with all boldness, difficulty comes. I'm going to read Acts chapter 14, verse 22, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So if you have a New King James, just listen. If you have a New Living, go ahead and turn there. But here's what it says. Where they strengthened the believers, they encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them what we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? Reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Not works. We don't have to work to get to heaven. Jesus Christ paid the price. There's no hoops to jump through. Listen, if you come to church thinking, I got to earn my salvation. I got to read my Bible to earn my salvation. I got to pray to earn my, I got to serve. I got to give. I got to do all these things. You don't have to do squat. You just got to fall in love with Jesus. He's already done it all. However, when you fall in love with Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes, there's this boldness. And out of that boldness, you will suffer many things. Why? Because as soon as you start walking in boldness, there's a huge target that the enemy goes, I need to take that guy out. Paul was known in hell. They knew him. Even one demon says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But I don't know who you are, whoever was there, not you, but... Or how about 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9? Watch this. But I will tarry, this is Paul, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. See, we want to put, but there were many adversaries. Listen, there's a great door, but man, there's many adversaries. Paul goes, there's a great door and there's many adversaries. That's how I know God's working, because it's going to be hard. Let's go. Wow. He had great boldness. Watch this real quick. I got two more thoughts and then we're going to wrap this up. I want to read now this last verse, verse 31, but I'm going to read it from the NIV. I rarely read from the NIV, but I like the wording here, and it was actually the inspiration for the title. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So here's the thing. Doesn't that seem like a cliffhanger? It's like, wait, what happens to Paul? What happens next? You want to know why it ends with all boldness and without hindrance? Because the book of Acts is us. The Holy Spirit hasn't stopped working. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is right here amongst us. The question is, are you a part of the pages? Are you in the pages? Are you standing with all boldness, without hindrance? Are you standing up for what is right? Are you proclaiming? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to write the book of Acts through your life? I pray so. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing greater than to be used by God. There's nothing greater than to have the Holy Spirit active in your life and then to stand with all boldness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we do ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help. Respond according to your leading, according to your guiding. And now, Lord, as we prepare to take communion, a very special ceremony where we remember the boldness of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we remember how you boldly went to the cross out of your love for us, and now you ask us to boldly pick up our cross out of our love for you. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here that each one of us would examine our heart before we take communion. If we would ask ourselves, are we acting, moving, speaking, responding according to the Spirit with all boldness? Or do we just kind of hide in the shadows and whimper? We're wondering why you're not pouring your Spirit out into us. Lord, I don't want to wonder that. I want to walk in the power and newness of life. I want to believe wholly so that I have that tranquility no matter what's going on in my life. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters. So, Lord, I pray for the elements. I pray for the ushers. I pray for my brothers and sisters here that as we take these elements, that it would take our minds back to what you did for us. And now may we respond by how we can bring you glory, that we would be a testimony a living, breathing testimony of the acts of the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you, Lord, for these elements. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.